Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
So on Sunday, we began to talk about becoming fruitful in all things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We began to talk about what? Becoming fruitful in all things. And the Lord began to paint a picture before us of how that it is possible to be fruitful in all things. Hallelujah. So we saw the life of Abraham. I think it was in Genesis 24, where this, the Bible says, for God has blessed him in all things. Hallelujah. And then we saw Psalm 1, verse 3, that says that he shall be blessed in all that he does. Praise God. Hallelujah. This evening, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the categories of fruitfulness. But today I want to list it for us, praise God. The diverse, there are seven major categories of fruitfulness that every man must desire to attain. Seven categories or levels of fruitfulness that you must desire to attain. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. Proverbs 11 verse 30. Proverbs 11. Sorry. Before we go to Proverbs. Okay, praise God. Galatians chapter 5. Before we go to that, Galatians chapter 5. And there will arise a strong hand, says the Lord. A strong hand shall arise. And it shall arise to push back. I see a hand lifted. And the hand was lifted above the people. It is a hand of salvation. Hallelujah. Please, before we go to Galatians 5, can you look for me? I'm just trying to check something. My phone is not here. Check for me. The Bible says, do not say that ye are the children of Abraham, but bring forth fruits, meet unto repentance. Hallelujah. Can I have that scripture? Do not say that ye are the children of Abraham, but bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. Matthew 3 verse 8. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8. Give me, is there the other verse before Matthew? Give me verse 7, let me see. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? No, this is not the one I'm looking for, but we can use it. I'm looking for the one that says, do not say that we are the children of Abraham, but bring forth fruits, meet for repentance. Verse 9 of this one. All right, go to verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now let's go back to verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8. Okay. Okay, let's continue to verse 10. It's helping me. Let's go to verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not fruit, not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now let's go back to verse 8 now. Let's go back to verse 8. I will explain. Let's go back to verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So this is the background. The Jews are biologically the descendants of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They are by birth the descendants of who? Abraham. Hallelujah. But I hope you know that the Ishmaelites are also descendants of Abraham. Hallelujah. So now Jesus was saying, because every time you talk to the Jews will say, we are children of Abraham. In other words, it's like somebody who says he's going to heaven because his father is a Christian. Are you understanding that? So every time you touch the Jews, they say we are Abraham's seed. So John was now speaking to them, and he said, don't be claiming that you are from a if you're son of Abraham, you are all of that. Don't say you are from church. It's not that you are a church or you bear a Christian name. He said, the key is not what you call yourself. The key is that you are bearing fruit. The fruit you are bearing is the fruit that shows that you have repented from your sins. Are we understanding what I'm saying? The first type of fruit that God expects from a believer. Please, I want you to listen to me. The first kind of fruit, when we say fruit, another word for fruit is outcome. Is that right? Is the outcome of your life. The first type of fruit that God expects of a believer is called the fruit of what? Of repentance. The fruit of repentance. That is that men who have repented of their sins, there is a way those people look. There is a way those people behave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a way those people live their lives. If you have been saved, there is a way you ought to live your life. There is something that we must see of you that must tell us. Listen to me. You don't have to talk to us. We just look at the way you live your life and we know that this person has met the Lord. We know that this person has met Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Acts, looking at the life of the disciples, the Bible says they knew that they had been with Jesus. And let me say this. This generation is at a very serious risk. Because we're in a generation where people have their own truth. Have you heard people saying this is my own truth? Have you heard people saying this is my own? Are you hearing me? Now let me say something to you. In the gospel, in scripture, let me help you. In scripture, we have very few things that are peculiar. We have general, majority of things that are general. You cannot have your own, a truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may have a deeper revelation of a truth, but you cannot have a truth that is your own. You cannot have a truth that is your own truth. A truth that you have that is separated from the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot have a truth. Let me give you an example. You cannot tell me. Are you hearing me? You can't tell me that God told me to do something and come back tomorrow and say you want to do something else. The first thing I want to ask you is that, did God change his mind? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because scripture tells us that he is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent of his words. Has he said it, shall it not come to pass? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you see brethren say, God said, and tomorrow they are changing from what God said, either God never said it from the beginning, which means that they were in self-delusion, or they were trying to deceive. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Either they were in self-delusion, or they were trying to deceive, or now they want to walk in disobedience. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, now they have decided they are going to walk in disobedience. God, see, listen to me. God doesn't make decisions like you make. Hallelujah. He speaks the end from the beginning. God is, are you hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't look at you today and make a decision about you today. He looks next 50, 100 years of your life and then comes back to make decision concerning today. So when you make it look as if God said yesterday, change today, there's another person tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. There is nothing wrong in you as a believer saying that I want to do something like this. Tell your neighbor there's nothing wrong. Just say, I want to do something. Don't call the Holy Spirit inside. Just say, I want to do. Are you getting my point? So that if tomorrow it changes, if tomorrow the Holy Spirit says otherwise, or if the Holy Spirit even affirms what you have done, leave it like that. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But the believers of today are quick to talk about the Holy Spirit said, God told me, God said. And the problem is that after you have said, God told you, then tomorrow you change. So now we are beginning to have, did you read scripture very well to know about God? The Bible says that, are you hearing what I'm saying? Is there anyone who lacks wisdom? Let him pray unto God. Who gives? The Bible says that God does not change his mind. He is not shifting shadows. That is that when, you know shadow is standing in one place. When the person is moving, shadow moves. God is not like that. You have to understand, are you understanding what I'm saying? You have to understand the character of God. I'll share something with you. A word the Lord gave us in January. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When we didn't know of anything, are you getting my point? When the Lord said it, did we know of anything? We did not. And let me even tell you, do you know that when the Lord told us this thing, some of the people we are talking about, they have not even shown their face. You've never even heard. Are you getting my point? But the Lord gave the word. So the first thing, praise God. The first thing is that when you claim to be a Christian, we must see what the Bible calls what? The fruit of repentance. There is something called the fruit of repentance. That is that the sign to us that you have repented. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And let me say something to you. The fruit of repentance is a man. First and foremost, let me show you this. The fruit of repentance is first and foremost is a person that has the capacity for repenting. No, you didn't hear what I said. I said the fruit of the of repentance is first. There are three levels of the fruit of repentance. The first level of the fruit of repentance is a man that has the capacity for what? For repenting. Because repentance is not a one-day thing. Repentance is continuous. Every time God shows you, reveals to you, where, are you hearing what I'm saying? You repent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you are now a stubborn person who continues in sin so that grace may abound. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that as you strive to know him and as you strive to walk with him, every time he reveals to you something about you that is not correct, you stand in a position, your heart is in such a position that it can repent again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That it can be corrected by the Spirit of God. That it can be corrected by the Word of God. That you are willing to adapt and adjust to whatever the Spirit of the Lord is showing you. So a true Christian is, are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why, listen to me. When you hear a believer that says, I will never, underline never, and know that this person is a man that's walking with a hardened heart. That means that there are things he will never, are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is a man that has foreclosed the possibility of God ever giving him a direction on a matter. So listen to me. The first thing you know about a man who has repented, and let me say this, that repentance until does not occur until a man has truly had an encounter. Listen to me. Every man that God saved, are you hearing me, had an encounter with Jesus. Somewhere he had an encounter with Jesus. When you meet the man, there is something about the man that does not need an introduction to let you know that this person has met with Jesus somewhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the real fear of God that is placed in the heart of that man is a product of that encounter that he had with Jesus. Are you hearing me? Now, that encounter he had with Jesus is a continuous testimony in the heart of that man. And it is the thing that brings the man to the place of repentance easily. Now, are you hearing me? But certain things can happen in the life of that man. That is, that man can become hardened. And if the man does not change from that hardness, continues to retrogress, he will arrive at Romans chapter 1, where scripture will say to us that because they did not desire to hear God any longer, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. So when you see a believer who is turning, are you hearing me, and is becoming resistant to the word of God, resistant to scripture, resistant to instruction, resistant to the Holy Spirit, what is happening to that person is not just that the person is become hard of heart, but there's a reprobation that is taking place in the life of that person. Very soon, are you hearing me, that person one day will rise up and tell you he does not believe Jesus ever came. And you will be wondering, was this not our choir master? Was this not this in church? Was that not in church? No. The Bible says that that hardness had arrived at a point where the Bible says God gave them over. Let me tell you, listen to me. One of the materials that will be coming out this year is what is, one of the materials that we're going to bring out this year is what the Bible calls resisting God, or the Bible, there are three of them. When you resist the Holy Spirit, or when you resist the Holy Spirit, I wrote it at the end of Destiny Mix. There's a page I gave to it. That's when the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord said, take this one, make it a book, and share it with the church. You know, a person, help me, pastors, help me. When you there's resisting the Holy Spirit, there is resisting opposition. When the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you are not, you are rejecting what he's saying. There's a name for it. It's in Destiny Mix. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you quench the spirit. A time comes when, even if the spirit, are you hearing what I'm saying? Just like you have fire, is that right? And you pour water on the fire, what happens? You quench it. You can quench the Holy Spirit in your life. You can quench him in your life. The Bible says he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, listen to me. I've seen believers that I've looked at them and said, one day somebody said something to me. I said, brother, have you prayed about this thing? I said to him, this is not a product of prayer. A time comes that God gives you over to what you want to do. You will even, when God gives you over to what you want to do, I'm telling you, you will think that you are doing right. Because everything you want to do will look right to you. Everything you want to do will look right to you. You know, and let me show you something. You know Pharaoh fought against the Jews. He fought against the children of Israel. If you read very well, a time came that God spoke and said, I will harden his heart the more. Since he has chosen to harden his heart, he said, I will help him to harden it the more. I will help him to harden it the more. When I was in secondary school, we used to have a guy in school. He was my senior with a year. And this guy was a good guy. There were like four or five from their family. They would come to church, and they were just okay, you know. But one day like that, the guy just began to become difficult in school. He just started having one kind of thing like that. And I remember very, very clearly one of those times when I started walking in the prophetic. You know, I just started walking in the prophetic. And the Lord would give me a word, you know. And I remember going to him. And I said to him, the Lord told me to warn you that the way you are going is not going to go well. The first thing that happened to him was that he repeated class. Then one time they were coming to school, about four of them. And then the whole family had an accident. Oh, everybody in the car came out well. He was the one that had a challenge. Then when we wrote Wahek, because he was my senior, repeated, became my mate. Finally, I met Wale in university. I was in 500 level. I met him one day, he was like in 200 level or something. I was so happy. We met, you know, we've not met for a long time. And his sisters were close friends of mine. You know what? Before that session ended, Wale was withdrawn from school. He went to write the exam for somebody. This was somebody who was, are you understanding me? The guy became an antichrist. Anything about the fellowship, anything about the gospel, anything, the guy just became the Holy Spirit told me, go and warn this guy. I went and warned him. His life had a downward spiral. Everything kept going down. The first sign of the fruit of repentance is the capacity to what? Is the capacity to repent. I have made you too small in mine eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in the lie that you are unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. And show yourself strong. And in my heart, and in my soul, oh Lord, be three dimensions. The first one is the capacity to repent. Listen to me. If you arrive at a place in your walk with God that repentance becomes difficult for you, are you hearing me? And listen to me. Repentance is not I'm sorry. There's a difference. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a difference between repentance and apology. You are sorry. When repentance begins to become difficult for you, repentance means a U-turn. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Repentance means what? A U-turn. And listen to me. Every time you see a man who is not repenting, there are three things that you must watch out for. One, you must watch out for pride. Because what repentance will do to you is that repentance will take you back to a place where you don't want to stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And listen to me. There is a humility. There's a humbling that repentance must do for you. So,
Every time a man does not, repentance is a U-turn. It's a U-turn, it's a returning to a particular position. Listen to me, to a particular position that you either know you're supposed to be or you are at. That is that I can repent from something that I was never in that position before, but I now know that is where I'm supposed to be. That means that I have received a revelation, an insight, an information, a knowledge that tells me where you are is not the correct place. Turn back and move back to where you're supposed to be. Or I might have been in a particular position, and repenting means what? I must return to that position. And many times, pride will not make you make a return. I want you to hear me well. So it is the capacity for repentance. It's the capacity to repent. It's the capacity to repent. It's the capacity to say, I'm sorry. Are you hearing me? And not stop just at saying sorry. Are you hearing me? There are three things. There are three products of repentance. If the man is repenting, there are three ingredients that make repentance. Number one is you saying it. That's why when you go, when you've done something wrong, is that all right? You begin by admitting you're wrong. I'm sorry. Whether it's to God or to man. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. So whether it's to God or to a man, you begin by admitting it. Is that okay? Or let me put it this way. The first one is godly sorrow. What the Bible calls godly sorrow. That is that. Have you heard somebody is apologizing to you and say, and the person says something like, even though I don't know what I did, I'm sorry, Sha. Have you had that kind of repentance? Have you seen that kind of repentance before? When a person says to you, what are the things we say? You know, when somebody says to you, eh? Sorry, it's okay. Eh? Have you seen that? That is that what that person is saying is that I don't see what I've done wrong. But if that is how we are going to keep the peace, okay, sorry, since that's what you want to hear. Even you that they told you sorry. Are you getting me? The person has technically told you sorry, but you know that it's not from the heart. Can I propose a better way of doing that, even when you don't feel you have done something wrong? Can I propose a better way? A better way, I'm talking about human being now, not God. A better way is to say, I have noticed that what I have said or what I've done has hurt you. I may not feel the way you feel, or I don't understand how what I have done have caused you hurt. But please forgive me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's better than saying, though. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there are things you will do to somebody, you may not know how the person actually feels. The Bible says, are you hearing what I'm saying? That repentance begins with what? Godly sorrow. Because the Bible says, what does godly sorrow do? Godly sorrow leads us to repentance. So, oh, God help me. You see, you cannot understand this until you understand the prayers of Paul, where he said that I may share in the fellowship of your sufferings. That is that you have not arrived at the point where the thing that disturbs God disturbs you. The thing that pains God pains you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only time you ever have godly anger is when they don't pay your salary. Then you have godly... That's not godly anger. Godly anger is Phinehas' anger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, you don't understand. Let me not go into that if you don't understand what I'm saying. So one is that there must be godly sorrow. Two is that there must be acceptance, admittance of wrong. There must be a confession of it. Is that okay? And then there must be an action that follows to show that there is a change. For with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made. So if you understand what I'm saying? We see what is in your heart by the actions you take. The actions you take reveal to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there must be an act of repenting. believers are repenters. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Believers are what? They are repenters. That's what we do. Every day as we behold Him, as we behold the glory of God, we are what? We are changed. There is a consistent and a continuous transformation to the stature of Christ that He is showing to us. So every time I see Jesus, there is something about me that I notice that is not right. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So every day as I behold him, I see who I ought to be. He's my great example. He's the express image of the Father. So every time I see him, there is something in me I see that needs to change and to become like him. So sir, do you know how I measure? How you must measure your walk with God? You measure your walk with God by how much you are becoming like him. Hallelujah. May you not measure yourself by how much you are getting in your pocket. May you not measure yourself by how popular or how famous you are becoming. May you measure yourself by how much of him you are becoming. How much of him you are becoming. That's your measurement. It's how much of him you are becoming. And let me give you counsel. Not even in the big things, in the small things. In the small things. In the small things. How much of him am I becoming in the small things? When last did you walk up to somebody and you did something, you hurt somebody, or you said something to that person that you shouldn't say, or you did something to that person you didn't do? How many times when last did you walk up to somebody and say, I'm really sorry for the way I talked to you. I'm really sorry for the way I treated you. I'm really sorry for the way I said this or I did that. Listen to me. These are the places where God measures you. The fruit of repentance. The next level of the fruit of repentance is the fruit. The fruit of repentance is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of repentance is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Tell somebody, something is controlling you. Your behavior is not normal. Something is actually controlling you. Praise God. Somebody... Do you know that many people are not actually normal? Praise God. Do you know so many people are actually not normal? Sometimes when you get angry at certain people, it's unnecessary because they are not normal. They are under an influence. Hallelujah. They are under an influence. In fact, let me tell you, spirituality 101 tells you that sometimes you don't pray, you don't fight, you don't pray against the person, you pray against the spirit that is behind the person. Because there's a spirit behind people. Hallelujah. There's a spirit behind people. The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are what? Contrary the one to the other. Why? Let's read it together. Why? So that you cannot do the things you would. In other words, so that you will not do the things that you want to do. So, it's either the spirit is leading you or the flesh is leading you. Something is leading you. Either the spirit is leading you or the flesh is leading you. And how do we know what is leading you? When we see the fruit. Either when we look, when we see the works of the flesh, or when we see the fruit of the spirit. The works of the flesh is the fruit of the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So sometimes when you see some people misbehaving, just say, I know you are not yourself. I understand. Hallelujah. I understand you are not yourself. There's no need getting bothered about you because you are not yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's so that you will not do what you want to do. When you operate from the fruit of the Spirit, sir, you're operating under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's the only way. Listen to me. That's the only way. Get this. When Jesus said, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. No human being in his right senses has the capacity to do that. He must be under an influence. Tell your neighbor, I'm under the influence of the Spirit of God. I'm under the influence of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm under the influence of the Spirit of God. Dear sister, when your husband does something or says something to you, and you know that one thing he said, you can reply him times 50 in the next 3 minutes. You can like tell it to him. Just remind yourself, I'm under the influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm under the influence. I once had a joke about an evangelist, very tall, giant. He was preaching the gospel in the street, doing market, you know, one-on-one evangelism in the market. So he was trying to preach to one. He came to one small man like that. So he was preaching to the man. And the man was not giving him attention. So he was following the man, preaching to the man. Then the man says, sir, come please, I want to tell you something. So, you know, he's very tall. So he bent down to hear. The man just gave him a dirty slap. The evangelist, look at the man. Look at the man. He said, not for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are under an influence. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary. If you read scripture, it says it is in opposition. Oh, I wish I could tell you something tonight, but that's not my subject. There are some things that are in opposition the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you want to do. Next verse. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Yes. Now, the works of the flesh are what? Are manifest. Tonight, my concern is not the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are what? They are obvious. They are obvious. Praise God. They are obvious. Or the fruit of the flesh, they are what? They are obvious. In other words, they are very easy to be seen. They are not difficult to be known. Hallelujah. They are not difficult. It's easy to see them. They manifest themselves. They don't need to be encouraged. They are obvious. But we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit tonight. We're talking about the fruit of repentance. Let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Is what? Joy. Peace. Long suffering. What is long suffering? Oh, you have not forgotten. Long suffering means what? To suffer for long. Not suffering for long for what is evil. Not suffering for, are you hearing me? But to be able to take it. Praise God. Yes. To suffer long. Long suffering. And what? Gentleness. And what? Goodness. And what? Faith. Yes. And what? Meekness. And what? Temperance. Or another word for temperance is what? Self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, every one of these things, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 3, the Bible begins to tell you these same things. When he says that love is patient, Love is kind. You know, in the Bible, love is not a feeling. Hallelujah. Love is, in the Bible, love is not a feeling. When you say, I love somebody, it's not a feeling. In the dictionary, it's a feeling. Dictionary defines love as a feeling of affection towards somebody. But in the Bible, love is not a feeling. Love is what you do. Love is a verb. So the Bible begins by telling you, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am but a clanging cymbal. If I, you know, then he goes and he says, but love is patient. Love is kind. Let's have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. So what does the Bible say? Take me to verse 3 quickly. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods, verse 4. Love is, charity is what? Suffereth long. And is what? Kind. Charity does what? It envieth not. Hallelujah. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Cynthia. Every time you are exhibiting envy, you are not bringing forth fruits of repentance. Every time you see, I wanted to say Florence's boyfriend, then I remembered. Hallelujah. Every time you see somebody's boyfriend and you are wishing the person ill because of the boyfriend that the person has, you are operating in envy. You are not walking in love. I've told you how to deal with envy. What did I say to you? What do you do? Pray for the person. You can celebrate lie celebration. Have you not? I see women do it all the time. Women, oh Jesus. You know they are not celebrating. In fact, they know that the person they are celebrating knows that they are not celebrating, but they still look as though they are celebrating you. Hallelujah. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity does what? It envieth not. Charity does what? It does not, it vaunteth not itself. It's not proud. It's not boastful. Hallelujah. It's not boastful. It's not what? Puffed up. I wish you guys had a new King James. Does not what? Behave itself unseemly. Another version says it's not rude. Have you seen rude people before? It does not behave itself unseemly. In other words, it has etiquette. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, these things, love has etiquette. Seeketh not what? Her own. It looks for the good of others. In every situation, it looks for the good of others. Is not easily what? Provoked. Thinketh no evil. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rejoiceth not what? In iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It doesn't do cover up. Hallelujah. Beareth what? All things. Believeth all things. Hopeth what? All things. That it believes in the good of somebody. It believes in the best of somebody. You know that if Jesus didn't believe in our best, hallelujah. If Jesus didn't believe you, something good will come out of you. You will not be saved. I wish I had the time for us to just take these things and deal with them one by one. Bringing forth what? Fruits of what? Repentance. Fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance begins with your capacity, Pastor Mao, for what? For repenting. You must be a continuous what? Repenter. But every time God shows you something that is incorrect in your life, what do? You repent. I must not see you the way you are today, and 5 years from now, you are still the way you are. You haven't changed. There must be a change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Peter, add to your patience, is that right? Virtue. And to virtue, are you hearing me? That even if, sir, you are walking in gentleness, everybody knows you as the gentlest brother, there is a higher level of gentility you
you can enter into. Add to your faith patience. You can keep on adding, sir. You can keep on adding. Even if you have arrived at it, you can keep on adding. Why? Because there's a stature you are arriving at, and that stature is what? That stature is Christ. Listen to me. Every other fruit you are producing, if you have not produced the fruit of the Spirit, the absence of the fruit of the Spirit will come and destroy every other fruit you are producing. Because you see, your gift, your ability, your knowledge, whatever you have, it has the capacity to lift you up, but it cannot keep you up there. Another word for the fruit of repentance is character. Another word for the fruit of repentance is what? Is character. It's character. The greatest challenge of Nigeria's version of Christianity. Hallelujah. Nigeria has the largest churches. It has the largest, one of the largest, that's largest churches everywhere. It has the largest, possibly we have one of the largest number of, we have the largest number of Christians in Africa. I don't know whether it's in the world, but in Africa it's sure. NEC, we are the loudest. We are the loudest Christians all over the world. We are the Christians that stay in church the longest. You remember, Pastor, we went for a conference. The white man that came, he said, Nigerian churches stay in church longer than any other Christians in the world. It's only in Nigeria that people do 6-hour service. Well, you know what? Nigerian Christians are the Christians that have no character. No, they are not. See, let me tell you something. The problem of Nigeria is not people that are not Christians. The problem of Nigeria are Christians. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't take too much salt. You can make a big pot of soup. It doesn't take too much salt. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My pastor told me a story. One of the largest Christian gatherings in Nigeria, probably the largest Christian gathering in Nigeria, they went for that program. It's usually an all-night program. They did the program. They were leaving in the morning around 5 a.m. So somebody came to enter his car. Another two came to enter. So the one person blocked another person. They just finished that program. So this one was honing and honing. So that one will not move. This one just reversed his car. Is it not? No, let me ask you. Are there not professional people who come to church to steal phones? Are there not professional people that come to church for the purpose, when there is program, they come for the purpose of stealing phone? While the program is going on, worshiping with us? Are they not lifting up holy hands with us? Are you getting my point? Let me tell you, my phone has been stolen in church before. Let me tell you, in this church, they stole my suit. In this church, they stole my suit. They stole my tie. In this church, not another, they stole my suit. In fact, they stole my offering in this church. In another church, so you will not be thinking we're talking about another church. In this church, they stole my suit, they stole my tie, they stole my offering. I was in a church in Abuja. They said we should bring out our offering. So that time when if you have a phone, I brought out the phone. But what happened was that I got a business to do. So to be able to communicate, it was like all the profits I was going to get from the business. I used the money to buy a phone. I remember it was a brand new phone, brand new line inside the phone. I went to church on Sunday.
They say, bring out your offerings. I was wearing this type of kaftan that has pocket, outer pocket. So I brought out my offering, my phone, held it in my hand, put my hand and brought out the offering and gave the offering and returned the phone. I didn't know that the enemies of the cross were in that gathering. As they said, let us go out. You know, the mega church, you know. So then you coming through one this thing. Hey, everybody is going out. Somebody was pushing me. Somewhere in the line, I just knew something. Virtue has left me. In the middle of that line, I stopped. Some people were shouting, move now. I put my hand in my pocket. Behold, at that time, if you had a phone and they stole it, it's like you lost a human being. I stopped in the middle of the thing. I'm telling you, don't you know that people come to church to look for girls? They even know the church. They say that there are fine girls in that church. Don't you know? And they come during service. Why are you laughing? Yeah, suspect. Are you one of the girls they looked for? Hallelujah. What service is going on, Minister Lawe? They are lifting up holy hands with us. Are you getting my point? We are assuming that these ones are part of us. I wish I had time so that I would have spoken to us on how to measure your salvation. Because let me tell you, some people are not saved, though. Oh, you don't know. You don't know, some people are not saved. There are things that a person will do. I wanted to say we're lying, but I said, see, listen to me. There are things that a person does that when you look at salvation, you know this one is not saved. Not all that are in Israel are Israelites. You know, we have done church for so long that we have the form of it. We have the form of godliness. Is there something you can use to test correct tongues? Is there an instrument that can be used to test when somebody's tongues is original? Everybody speaks in tongues. We fill stadiums. But when we leave, we do the thing that is in our hearts. Sometimes we don't even wait to leave. When the people that are stealing phone, did they leave? When they are finding out, are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes, while the service is going on, we are doing the thing that is in our heart. Hi! I want to tell you something I had recently. No. Pastors, I will tell you. After service. Oh, God. You know that, have you watched that thing on social media of one some angels announce to blow trumpet? That guy that wants to blow trumpet, this guy is trying. He even has more self-control. If it was me, I would have blown the trumpet scenes. I used to say, thank God I'm not God. I've been listing the things that if I was God. Let's rest our feet. Do not say we are the children of Abraham. Don't be claiming it. Hallelujah. Bring forth what? Fruits. Meat for repentance. Tonight I want you to do an evaluation. Do you know, sir, that you can be doing something wrong? You can even justify why you should do it. There are people who are wrong and they have a justification for it. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to have a heart that if God shows me, I can repent. I don't have to have a perfect repentance, but I can be repenting. I just want us to pray a simple prayer tonight. Is the Lord revealing something to you that requires repentance? It can be simple things. It can be major things. But is there something that requires repentance? Tonight, can you speak to the Lord? Tonight, can you speak to the Lord? Tonight, can you speak to the Lord? Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. It gives light. Lighten us up. Lighten our hearts. Do a work in our spirits. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory. Amen.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.